They're gonna make it. Okay, hear me out on this. They're gonna make it. Good morning to you. Good Tuesday morning. I'm Dejan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports from Toronto. This is Daily Shot of Penguins. Comes your way bright and early every weekday if you're into football and or baseball. I also offer daily shots of Steelers and Pirates in the same place that you found this. Maple Leafs 3, Penguins 2 in overtime. A precious point was picked up on Drew O'Connor's third period tying goal, crashing the net. Man, that kid, if he didn't get a goal in that game for everything that he created at times all by himself, it would have been a crime against hockey. As it was, he barged his way to the front of the net, banged home a rebound behind Ilya Samsonov. Overtime happened, and unfortunate things happened. Sidney Crosby had a skate issue related to an earlier collision. Wasn't available for Mike Sullivan to deploy. Sullivan confirmed afterward that Sid would have started the OT. So Lars Eller, Erik Karlsson, and O'Connor go out there, and then they get stuck for a minute and a half. That wasn't going to end well, and it didn't. Jake McCabe beat Alex Nedeljkovic, and that was that. And you know what? They got a point. And when I talked to these guys afterwards, you could tell that this hurt, and it hurt like hell. But they got a point. And they knew how hard they'd competed for that point. They knew how well, through the better part of, I'd say, 53, 54 minutes out of those 60, they'd performed, and their basis for believing that they're going to make the playoffs is how hard and how well they've played. Now, I asked Karlsson about that.
I mean, they're a good team. They played hard, too. So it's, we were down in the third. We'll take the point. It's just, it sucks. Yeah, it is what it is in overtime,
I mean, there's never a situation. There's not a single situation where you can say, hey, let's just go run off.
Yeah, it's 50-50. I mean, I think at least, we're going out there to try and win in overtime, and that's the mentality you have to have. Obviously, we have not been on the right side of it for most part of the season, and it hurts us a little bit. But overall, I think, it was a good game from our part, except for, 5-6 minutes here and there. That's the way it is.
I asked O'Connor, too.
Yeah, I mean, every point's a good point. Obviously, we wanted two, and, we have to get in that overtime situation and find a way to get that point. But, obviously, it's a big, big point, especially being down in the third.
But I asked a few other guys as well, and I asked them, even if it meant talking off the record, tell me what your level of confidence is right now. And it's very high. They understand that not everything is in their control, but they also understand, and believe me on this, that they know Thursday is in their control because they're going head-to-head with the Red Wings, the team that's right there with them. It's a potentially a four-point swing. And it just doesn't get any bigger for a regular season game. Now, I'm here to say this. They wouldn't. They're a better team than Detroit. Okay? They're better at every position than Detroit. They should beat Detroit on any night in which they're playing their best hockey. They are currently playing their best hockey. Look at the list of opponents that they've handled in this ongoing 9-game point streak, which is at 6-0-3. Look at who they've beaten. Look at who they've grossly outplayed. After the Red Wings, it stays tough. It's Bruins, Predators, and Islanders. I would argue that the Bruins and Predators aren't going to have all that much to be playing for and are going to be striving more than anything else to stay healthy. But here again, at the end of the season, you have what you want, which is to at least control your own fate. All of these guys will tell you that, all of them, that they would rather be in a situation where they can look right in front of them and see who it is that they have to beat instead of hoping for other things to happen on the scoreboard. It's not going to be easy for anybody who follows this team to take that lost point here last night lightly. It's not. It's a tough, tough scene. I get it. Watching your team compete like that and then watching the other team raise their arms and jump up and down on their way off the rink. But I want you to know that they took it way harder than you could have or anyone could have. And, you know, I've told you this before on this show. No one absorbs these more passionately than Eller. And Eller was out there for the lost faceoff that led to the Austin Matthews goal. And Eller was out there in overtime. And Eller actually played really, really well all night. But that's just the cruel, punishing nature of professional sports sometimes. He took this very hard. And he and all of them are as determined as I've seen a team that I've covered be in a long time. This group of Penguins over the past month, I would say, has done more to make the franchise proud, to make the brand a point of pride than any that I've covered in a while. They're feeling that. They want this. Remember that my chief criticism of this group, the coaches, the everybody, all the way up to the owners, was that they'd kind of lost it there for a while with the Jake Guentzel trade. It looked like they didn't even care about being in the playoffs. Nobody even talked about it. Remember that? This is very, very different. They want to be in. They believe that they're going to get in. As a result, I believe that as well. When we come back, J1Q. Today's J1Q comes from Carmen, who says, DK, have you ever seen anything as puzzling as the Penguins' futility on the power play and in overtime, given the pedigree of their coach and the top-shelf experienced talent? Is there a common thread between these two failing elements of their game that's caused it to last over an entire season? I'm not gonna put them together, Carmen. They just have nothing in common, these facets. Other than, I guess, you know, as you point out, that you have some of your more skilled and experienced players participating in them, but I thought, boy, I would imagine this would be an unpopular view. I thought that the power play here last night was really sharp. And I'm not just talking about the way, you know, back in November and December when they would talk about all the looks that they had. Remember, looks, looks, looks. That's not what was happening with this power play. They were collapsing beautifully. They attacked the Leafs by going at their preferred weakness, if that makes any sense. Toronto's penalty killers came out at the Penguins' point men, and that usually gives the Penguins trouble, and it did on the first one, but it didn't after that. I thought the Penguins really adjusted well, worked lower, got tight. There were a couple of occasions where, once with Ricard Raquel, twice with Evgeny Malkin, there were passes made right in tight when you didn't want them. But here again, one of those resulted in Sidney Crosby firing off or just a gorgeous shot that Ilya Samsonov did very well to stop. So I'm not going to pile onto the power play just because it didn't get results in this one. This was nothing like the power play futility that we all, myself included, were bitterly criticizing a little while ago. Overtime's different. I think overtime requires both an aggressiveness and a patience that the Penguins are missing. And I think this one might be generational, not to make Sid and Gino and everybody else sound like they're these old parts or whatever, but there's a run and gun, there's a have fun kind of feel to it that was never part of hockey when they were growing up. It just wasn't. When Sid and Gino broke into the league itself was just breaking out of its defensive doldrums, its New Jersey Devils days. And to go from that to something that's this radical, this non-structured, is, I don't know that that's an adjustment that is really in their wheelhouse. It's a lot like watching, I say this with immense respect, it's a lot like watching, you know, Sid try the Michigan, which he's done a couple of times. Not that he's pulled it off, but he's tried it a couple of times. And he's told me himself he's never succeeded at it. It's that, and it's Gino not being any good on penalty shots. It's, you know, they're from a different era. Again, that's not a shot. I'm sure there are a ton of things that Sid and Gino can do that this generation of Trevor Zegerses can't do. So it's just one of those where these particular skills, the overtime and the shootout, came along later. And you're going to see the Connor Bedards and the Jack Hugheses and so forth be really, really good at these things because they've been doing them for a long time. Ironically, they're the ones with the experience. I appreciate the question. I appreciate everybody listening to Daily Shot of Penguins. I'm heading home today. And yeah, big hockey game coming up Thursday, huh?